Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive your guilt of my sin.
All power.
Bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me,
and delivered me from all my fears.
Those who look to him are radiant,
and their faces shall never be ashamed.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him,
and saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him,
and delivers them.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
Oh. Almighty and most merciful God, preserve us from all harm and danger, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish what you want done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
First Sunday in Martyr's Tide is from the book of Job, the 38th chapter. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed'? Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stood out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. I love you, O Lord, my strength.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies.
The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me.
The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me.
In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help.
From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 9th chapter. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down. Or, 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, 'Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not at all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth night of watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, back to the Old Testament reading from Job chapter 38. I'll reread the beginning and ending of that passage. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare, if you know all this." This is our text. The Lord knows we have questions. He knows we have questions. How exactly did the creation take place? When will Christ return? What is eternity? The Lord knows we have complaints. Why did you allow me to lose my job? Why didn't you get rid of that cancer years ago? Why does life have to be so hard? The Lord knows we have fears. Where are you? When will you answer us? How long? Oh Lord, how long? And no, it's not just you. You may think you're the only one. You're not. There are others in the boat, too. Just look around. Your brothers and sisters in the church, sinners like you, with questions, complaints, and fears like yours. Or open the Bible. You'll find so many examples of Christians asking the same questions, sharing the same complaints, and voicing your same fears. The Psalms, of course, come to mind. They have all of that and more. But the book of Job also comes to mind. And for those who are newer to the faith, Job is an Old Testament biblical character whose name looks like our English word job, but is pronounced Job. And you'll hear more about him in a few minutes. What we typically want from God is an explanation that makes sense of it all. Isn't that what we want? Put the pieces together for us, God, in a rational way so that we can start to see the big picture. If we can understand it, then we can at least begin to deal with it. We want to know. But I need to be clear, that's not what you're going to get today. I'm not going to be able to pull every thread and string in your life together to give you the big picture of how it all works. This sermon won't be a nice, neat, satisfying answer to all those things you're wrestling through. Maybe the Lord will let you know some of it someday, and maybe not. We often remain in the dark. But what if God actually responded in a different way? Instead of responding on our terms with all the things that we want to know, instead of giving us bullet point answers to every question, complaint, and fear that we have, what if he addressed us as if we were the ones who needed to answer him? What if we're the ones who have some explaining to do, not him? Could we even handle it? Which brings us back to our man, Job. And to bring you up to speed, because I think we're probably in different places here in the congregation. Some of you have read the book of Job and you know his story well, and some of you may be hearing his name for the first time. And since we meet Job in chapter 38 out of 42, and I really do encourage you to read the whole thing, here's a brief synopsis. Job was a great guy. Faithful Christian, rich life, fine health, and beautiful family. But then Satan said that Job only loved God because his life was going so well. Let him suffer a little bit, Satan claimed. And you'll see how it really is with Job. Faith, hope, and life will poof, vanish like the morning dew. And God said, "You really think so? Give it a try." So Satan did. He destroyed Job's wealth in a series of disasters. Then he killed his 7 sons and 3 daughters in a single day. And last of all, he touched Job's own bone and flesh with illness. Property gone, children gone, health gone. And so his wife told Job he should just curse God and die. And his friends told him that he must have been really, really bad to deserve all of that. And Job said he wouldn't, and he hadn't, and God would vindicate him, until eventually he demanded that God owed him an explanation for all of it. Then a guy named Elihu shows up and puts everyone in their places. He rebukes the friend. He tells Job that he's off base and stubborn and has gotten carried away by challenging God. And then he proclaims God's majestic power. And then we get to chapter 38. And finally, God shows up. Because, of course, he would. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, think hurricane, and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" In other words, you've got no idea what you're talking about, Job. You really want to do this? Then roll up your sleeves and let's do it. Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. And you can almost hear Job gulp. Uh-oh. What did I just do? And the Lord takes him all the way back to the beginning. So Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and, talking about the angels, all the sons of God shouted for joy? In the beginning, where were you? Did you see how it was all constructed and put together? Were you next to the angels when they were singing with joy over the creation? And if Job were being snarky, he'd say, "That's just what I was asking you. Where were you, God?" But you know, hurricane force winds have a way of sucking the snark out of people. So Job just sits there and listens. He doesn't have the first idea how creation is put together. And even with all of our modern physics, we don't have a clue still about how he really did it in the beginning. Job can't even begin to comprehend how God has ordered all things. I mean, he doesn't even know how his car runs, much less creation. The Lord is God, the maker of heaven and earth, and Job isn't. And Job isn't even equipped for the job if it was offered to him. And neither are we. That's the first thing God says. Don't ask to be God, and don't pretend to play him on TV. If we find the ocean intimidating, if you ever wake up in the morning and marvel at the morning sun, If you wonder what's beyond the gates of death, then what should our posture be toward the one who made all of it? I mean, really, how do we stand before a God like that? A little humility would seem to be in order, first of all. Then sackcloth and ashes would seem to be appropriate as well, and awe and silence, which is where Job lands in chapter 40. Behold, I'm of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further. You could say that too. When you walk through the doors, when you come forward to kneel, behold, I'm of small account. What shall I answer you? Or another way of thinking of it is this. When you have those questions and those complaints and those fears, you may speak them to God and then leave them there. Speak once, but don't act as if God owes you something, as if he's accountable to you, because that's putting everything upside down. God's way of handling things may not make sense to Job. God's way of handling things may not make sense to you. But our calling in the end isn't to understand all of God's ways. Our calling isn't even to justify all of God's ways. Our calling is to trust this God, to believe in him. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What I find really interesting is that in reading the book of Job, we actually get God's perspective on Job's situation. But Job doesn't get that. Job doesn't get the book of Job to read and say, okay, now I can make sense of all of it. He doesn't get a nice, neat explanation. He lives it. He lives the messiness and the questions and the complaints and the fears. What he does get is a God more beautiful and more gracious than he could fathom. A God who doesn't wipe him off the face of the map, but who loves him enough to speak to him and to deliver him. A God who not only created the universe for us human beings, but who remains present and active to care for his creatures in ways that go far beyond what we can see or imagine. So hear Job as an invitation to trust. An invitation to trust, especially in those times when you cannot understand and make sense of it. Especially when you've got questions and complaints and fears. Receive Job as an invitation to stop worrying about trying to figure out things that are beyond your pay grade. When it comes to your life and this universe, there are ways that you can leave the puzzle pieces alone and let God be the one who puts them together. Let God be God. The things we cannot understand are in his hands. But also hear Job as this. Hear Job as an invitation to call out to God like Job did. The beautiful thing is that we have a God who's big enough to hear our complaints and our questions and our fears. He's not petty. Not in the way that we are sometimes when someone brings something to us and we dismiss it, or we downplay it, or we don't want to hear it. God isn't like that. You can call out believing that he who called you into these trials is faithful to the end. But I want to go one step beyond Job, who met God in that hurricane wind and heard God addressing him, and move forward to our gospel reading, to St. Peter, who also met God in a tremendous storm out at sea when the winds were blowing and the waves were against them, and it was the middle of the night, like 3 in the morning, and they were tired and snappy with each other and wondered if they'd ever make it across. The storm seemed to be too much, and then a figure appeared to them over the water, and they thought it was a ghost. A ghost. They didn't think, here comes our God to save us. No, the first reaction was, here's something even scarier. In a way, they were right. Jesus arrives amid the storm, and Jesus speaks to the boat, and he says, don't be afraid, it is I. And good old Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come walking on the water, and I'm going to jump right out of this boat and walk to you. And Jesus says, do it. Come. And so Peter does. And you know the story. One step, two steps, look around step, going under step. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Peter, who steps out with his troubles and his questions, his doubts and his fears, who steps out when he hears the voice of his God and then begins to falter on the waves and go under, and you know where his God is. Right there. Right there with his voice and his hand reaching down to Peter and pulling him up. He doesn't demand that Peter figure out how it's possible to walk on the waves. He simply invites Peter to do it like he is doing it. To trust the one who made the wind and the waves, who has plumbed the depths of the ocean, and who set the stars in the sky high above. You might say the response to Peter again, like to Job, is to stop worrying about trying to figure things out. And you know how it is. Sometimes we think that all we need to do is figure things out, and we do figure one thing out, and we've got it. And then there's the next thing. And we think if we just figure that out, everything will be okay. And we figure that out, and there's another thing to figure out. It's an endless loop. If we think that getting through life is going to be done by our figuring everything out, we'll never get there. So stop trying to figure things out. And simply believe the one who made you, and the one who entered, walked upon the water to rescue you, and the one who even went further than that because he went to the very gates of death itself and he plumbed it all the way to its depths. And he came out alive on the other side. He says to you, you don't have to figure it out. I've got it all in my wounded, scarred, and bleeding hands. I am the wisdom by which all things were made, and I am the wisdom by which all men are saved. I was there at creation. I was there on Good Friday. I was there on Easter Sunday, and I am with you even now to the end of the age when I will come again in glory. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, be Job. Be Peter. Remember the promise. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So call on him like Job and call on him like Peter and learn to hear his questions and learn to let God be God. He knows the way through the fire and he knows the way through the water and he knows the way through the grave and he has made the way to eternal life for you. And now he invites you in your life, your messy, difficult, questioning, fearful, complaining daily life. He invites you to return to it with him as your God, knowing that he's got all the pieces and he's put them all together for you in Christ to deliver you from your troubles and to bring you into the life that never ends. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest. We ask in particular for Patrick and Laura and their family, that you would prepare and provide for his future return to seminary. Sustain all whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people and the gospel preached in all the world. Lord, in your mercy,
amen.
Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, to maintain righteousness, and to hinder and punish wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Be with all expectant mothers, especially Carrie, Jamie Gale, and Jalen, and the children they carry. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially Pat, who is hospitalized, Bob in his recovery, and Melinda, Evelyn, Jared, Ralph, Karen, Dale, Lauren, Kay, Dave, and all who have asked for our prayers. Grant courage and steadfastness to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Lord, in your mercy. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. Send rain, we pray, in every place overcome by wildfires, especially to Washington State, and keep safe the residents, firefighters, and aid workers, including Beth's family. Grant comfort to all who have suffered loss. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Lord, in your mercy, receive, O God, our bodies and souls, and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you, for by his blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, these and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death, and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of
Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
Our psalm today is Psalm 18, starting at the 7th verse, a psalm of thanks. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be God of my salvation. When the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations also of the mountains tumbled and quaked, because the Lord was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down, thick darkness under his feet. He rode on a cherubim and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his covering, his canopy around him. Thick clouds, dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through the clouds. And the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent up from high, he took me and drew me out of many waters. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord lives and blessed by my rock, and the exalted be God of the salvation.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have refreshed us with the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that this heavenly food which we have received will strengthen our faith, that we may bear all crosses, sickness, and trials with patience and trust, until you grant us deliverance, peace, and health, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you